Don't want to embarrass them, but AJ, Myrna, and family are here today. Remember the Olivas family? They're in town for Christmas. So glad their family lives here, so we get to see them quite a bit, right? It's good to have you guys. It's good to see you here. Mark chapter 3. We're going to continue forward in our verse-by-verse study of the Gospel of Mark this morning here on Sunday mornings. Mark chapter 3, verse 7. This is not a traditional Christmas passage that you would expect to read in church on the Sunday before Christmas Day, but I'm definitely going to put a Christmas spin on it, okay? And actually, this is a passage that presents a scenario that I wish was true every Christmas season. You'll see what I mean. Let's pray. Father, so thankful for the real meaning of this season. So thankful that you came here, that you were born and lived among us. Thank you for being our Savior. Father, I pray that that would be the emphasis of our celebration. Lord, I would pray for anyone here this morning who has never truly come to understand the real meaning of this season. Lord, that eyes would be open, that salvation would be found. Bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody shared this poem with me this week. I think it describes like how many of us might feel at this time of the year. 'Tis the month before Christmas, we're all going nuts. With so much to do, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. Buy presents, hang tree lights, pop cards in the mail. Send gift packs, thread popcorn, find turkeys on sale. Decorations need stringing up all through the house, and you haven't a clue what to buy for your spouse. School concerts, receptions, open houses with friends, long lineups, short tempers, tying up the loose ends. With all our mad dashing, we're reeling from shock. Let's stop for a minute and really take stock. We all know this is the busiest time of the year, isn't it? I mean, everybody is rushing around, getting ready for Christmas Day. And it's sad, but for most people, the Christmas season is just that. It's a rush. It's just a Christmas rush. People tripping over one another, shoving each other, traffic, everyone just going crazy, getting ready for one day. And I want you to think, we pack an awful lot into this season, don't we? There is so much activity, there's so much energy, so much time and money that's put into this season. It all starts with Christmas decorations, right? There comes that time where you pull the Christmas decorations out and you decorate your house with all the Christmas decorations, you put up the tree, you string lights, we put lights on our houses. I think we put Christmas lights on everything. Last year I saw a dog with Christmas lights strapped to it. Felt sorry for that dog. And people get very, very serious about it. Last year, David and Janine Richards, a couple from Australia, decorated their home with an astonishing 331,038 different Christmas lights. They hold the world record now for the most Christmas lights on a residential property. How many of you have gone to the Eastwood Street neighborhood here in El Paso? You know what I'm talking about? That's a tradition for 50 years where a neighborhood goes all out and they deck the halls and they put all kinds of lights out. awesome stuff, fun stuff, but a lot of work and part of the rush. The Christmas rush, all of the activity. Think about the shopping then. Getting the gifts. All that goes into that. You make your list and then you got to find out what people want. And then you got to hope that the stores have what you want. We go to the malls. We battle the traffic. And it can be brutal out there. One year at Christmas when my wife was pregnant with Lindsay and she was showing. She literally got shoved out of line as people cut in front of her. It's scary out there at this time. The human race in a mall at Christmas time reminds me of a locust plague ascending upon a cornfield. Here they come, they consume everything, and then they leave the shelves bare. And then we have to mail off those gifts. Some you have to ship, and so you have to stand in the post office. And then there's the Christmas cards that need to be sent. By the way, it looks like my family's going to send New Year's cards this year. We didn't get our Christmas cards out yet. So you might be getting your card mid-January. I don't know. It just got crazy. Christmas rush. Well, then what about all the events? The open houses. Parents who have kids in school, you know that every one of your kid has a Christmas party in every one of their classes and in all of their activities. The receptions, the company parties, the ballets, the plays, all great stuff, all fun stuff, but a rush. We pack it all in. And then there's the food. My favorite. I like food. But we go for it at this time of year with food, don't we? All the preparation, the Christmas cookies. I think I break a record every year of how many cookies I can shove into my body. Turkeys, ham, tamales. You know, how many of you like tamales? You know, if you want to get some tamales for Christmas Eve, you're probably out of luck by now. And I remember years we had to wait in line for 2 hours to get tamales. All of this, a part of this incredible rush. So much activity, so much busyness. It's like we go full steam ahead. And then come Christmas Day, we all pass out. And it can be exhausting. The other night, Kim and I just sort of looked at each other cross-eyed from exhaustion. So much happening. I'm not down on it. I'm not down on celebrating Christmas like that. I'm not down on lights. I'm not down on trees. I'm not down on gifts. I'm not down on events. I'm certainly not down on tamales. But I just ask you, do we sometimes go overboard? Could it be that at this time of the year, too much of our energy gets misdirected? Too much of our time. Could it be that even as Christians, we forget the main event of Christmas? Could it be that Jesus gets buried under all the tinsel and the wrapping? Could it be that we actually forget the birthday boy? You ever heard of a birthday party where we forget the birthday boy? E.B. White said, to perceive Christmas through its wrappings becomes more difficult with every year. Look at our passage this morning. It describes a rush. And I think this is the type of rush that we should be involved in at this time of the year. Mark chapter 3, verse 7 says, but Jesus withdrew from his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and Jerusalem, and Idumea, and beyond the Jordan, and those from Tyre and Sidon. a great multitude, when they heard how many things he was doing, came to him. So he told his disciples that a small boat should be kept ready for him because of the multitude, lest they should crush him. For he healed many, so that as many as had afflictions pressed about him to touch him. And the unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, fell down before him and cried out, saying, "You are the Son of God." But he sternly warned them that they should not make him known. So Jesus is out ministering with his disciples around the Sea of Galilee. It would appear that he wanted to get a little bit of rest. So he and his disciples withdraw to a quiet shore site there on the Sea of Galilee. But the text says he couldn't rest. Great multitudes found him. They crowded him. They came to him. Great multitudes from Galilee, that's where Jesus and his disciples were hanging out. That's where they were ministering. But we also noticed that great multitudes from all over the place found Jesus. From far away, from 50 to 100 miles away, from down south, Jerusalem, Judea, Idumea, the crowds came. From east, across the Transjordan. Multitudes from 50 to 100 miles away, and they walked back then, you know, came to Jesus. From the north and to the west, Sidon and Tyre, multitudes of people found Jesus. They came to him. They rushed him. And some of these places we know that Jesus visited. Other places we know that he didn't. Like, for example, there's no record of Jesus ever visiting Idumea, way down south. But it doesn't matter whether he's been there or not. Everybody's heard about him. And they all come to him. Picture that in your mind. Crowds of people flocking to Jesus. And you know what they all want? They want to touch him. And they want him to touch them. They want to see him. They want to be up close and personal with Jesus. And the crowd gets so thick that it almost becomes like a riot. And Jesus says to his disciples, "Hey, let's get a small fishing boat ready. And let's keep it right off the shore. Just in case the crowd gets too crazy, we can get in the boat, you know, go right off the coast, and then we can still talk to them, but we won't get crushed." Picture that in your mind. That's what should be happening at Christmas time. This time of the year, people are rushing the malls. They're rushing the post office. They're rushing the restaurants. The locusts ascend, right? But you know, at this time of the year, my brother and sister in Christ, we should be rushing Jesus. Wanting to get up close and personal with Jesus. Wanting to feel his touch. Wanting to see him. Focused on him. That's what Christmas should be all about. You know that idea of rushing to see Jesus? You see that element in all of the Christmas passages? In fact, it's the main thing about all the Christmas passages in the Bible. People rushing to see Jesus. When the Christmas angels give the announcement of the birth to the shepherds, what do the shepherds do? It says they rushed into Bethlehem to see Jesus. There they go. They rush in. We got to see Jesus. And then when they saw Jesus, they went out and told everybody. The three wise men, they went on a long, elaborate, expensive journey in search of the King, Jesus. Think of all the expenses. Think of all the effort. Just to see Jesus. Get a glimpse of Jesus. And of course, when they came, they brought costly gifts to Jesus. Gold, frankincense, myrrh. There's an old man and an old woman mentioned in the Gospel of Luke. They were rushing to see Jesus. Only the way they rushed to see Jesus is every day, day after day, they would go to the temple. His name was Simeon, her name Anna. And they would go to the temple and look for the Messiah to be born. 8 days after Jesus is born, parents bring him to the temple. And Simeon and Anna, after years and years, day after day, waiting just to get a glimpse of the Messiah. Simeon sees Jesus, and the scripture says he took that baby from the parents. Took him into his arms, held him close, and began praising God. And Anna, too, she saw Jesus, and she praised God. And that's what needs to happen at Christmas. We need to come to Jesus. We need to come to that baby. Take that baby in our arms. And praise God for that baby. That's the rush. Why were all those people coming to Jesus? Well, what's it say? Verse 8, a great multitude, when they heard how many things he was doing, came to him. Word had gotten out about Jesus. Jesus was the miracle worker. From every direction, north, south, east, west, people have heard that there's a person in Galilee, there's a person who can change lives. He can heal. He can cast demons out. And so all of these people heard, and all of them brought their infirmities to Jesus, and Jesus healed them. They carried the lame to Jesus, and he healed them. They carried the blind to Jesus, and he healed them. Jesus was the man whose touch brought healing, deliverance, salvation, resurrection from the dead. And so they came. And Jesus didn't disappoint them. He touched them. They were delivered. They were healed. That's why they came to him. He's the man who can change lives. He's the man who can set captives free. So they came. I've always loved the poem written by Susan Best. It's entitled The Miracle Dreams. And she speaks of dreams that people had on that Christmas Eve. It goes like this. That night when in Judean skies the mystic star dispensed its light, a blind man stirred him in his sleep and dreamed he had sight. That night when shepherds heard the song of hosts angelic hovering near, a deaf man stirred in slumber's spell and dreamed him he could hear. That night when in the cattle stall slept child and mother cheek by jowl, a cripple turned his twisted limbs and dreamed him he was whole. That night when over the newborn babe the tender Mary rose to lean, a loathsome leper smiled in sleep and dreamed him he was clean. That night when to his mother's breast the little king was held secure, a harlot slept a happy sleep and dreamed her she was pure. That night when in the manger lay the sanctified who came to save, a man moved in the sleep of death and dreamed there was no grave. The miracle man. The Savior has come. That same Jesus is available today. You understand? That same Jesus who at one time was that little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. That same Jesus who would grow up and be crowded on the shores of the Sea of Galilee and have to get in a boat so he wouldn't be crushed. Same Jesus. Same Jesus who would go to the cross. Same Jesus who would die for our sins. The same Jesus who rose again on the third day. The same Jesus who ascended. The same Jesus who's alive today. Amen? Seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He is available. Rush him. Come to him. crowd him. Throw yourself at him. His touch still brings deliverance. He's still the miracle worker. His touch brings salvation. Purity. Healing. Hope. Man, at this time of year, we should be coming to Jesus. My brother and sister in Christ, I invite you this season to pause from all of that celebration and to really take some serious time to consider and remember the mystery and the wonder of Christmas. Don't let it become old hat. I think we should all, in our mind's eye, take some time to go to Bethlehem and look in the manger for ourselves and contemplate the mystery of the incarnation. John chapter 1, verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You look at that baby in the manger. God came here. God came near. God became one of us. Jesus is God, come to planet Earth from heaven. It's not a myth. It's not a legend. It happened. Emmanuel, God with us. Ponder that. Celebrate that. You try to wrap your mind around that, and you can. It's a mystery. God becoming man. John Donne said, "'Twas much that man was made like God before, but that God should be made like man much more." And yet He became one of us to come into our world. Remember, as you look in that manger and you look at that baby, that the hope of the world, the hope of the ages, rests in that baby. There is no hope if Jesus doesn't come. Take that time. Think that through. You know, one of my favorite Christmas carols is "O Little Town of Bethlehem." And there's this verse that just always stands out to me every year. "O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." All of your hopes, all of your fears are met in Christ. He's our only hope. He's our Savior. He came into this dark world to save. And oh, how this world needs saving. Amen. I'm still reeling from what happened in Connecticut. I can't get my mind around that. The slaughter of the innocents. But then I remembered that what happened in Jesus' day, right after He was born, there was a slaughter of innocents as Rome was sent to kill every baby boy 2 years and under. Can you imagine the cries that went out in that city? That's the world that Jesus was born into. And He came into that dark world. He experienced everything that we experience. And He has given us the way out. He has shown us how to get eternal life. And He's shown us that one day He's going to make everything right. But it all comes through Jesus. Amen. Take a moment and look in that manger and remember what that little baby would do. Jesus didn't stay the cuddly baby. Jesus wasn't sent just to give us romantic Christmas Eves where we could have our nativity sets up, right? That little baby would grow up. That little baby would become a man. And that little baby would accomplish the mission for which he was sent. To go to the cross for you and I, for our sins to be placed upon him. To die in our place. That we might be forgiven. Don't ever forget it. Look at it. Contemplate it. Great Bible scholar said, in order to realize the true meaning of Christmas, you must look beyond the crib to the cross. From the babe in a feeding trough to the man on a tree. From the occupied manger to the empty tomb. Yea, to the occupied throne. Thus Christmas becomes more than a day on a calendar. Christmas envisions eternal vistas, even eternal life for you. Have you considered that this Christmas? We say it every year, Jesus is the reason for the season. Has that become something that we just say every year? I want to invite you to rush Jesus. I want to invite you to worship him in meaningful ways this year. I want to invite you as a family to make Jesus Christ the centerpiece of your Christmas celebration. Your home gatherings, when you get down and you have those wonderful meals, praise Jesus. And I want to invite you, my brother and sister in Christ, to do something special. Spend some alone time with Jesus. Get out of the rush. And you, just by yourself, get alone with him. Praise him. Thank him. Give gifts to him. You bought gifts for everyone else. You got a gift for Jesus? Give him the gift of your heart, your worship, your love. I have a pastor friend who every year around Christmas time writes a Christmas letter to Jesus. In his private little journal, it's just between him and Jesus. Write a letter to him. Thank him. And then let us tell others about him. Let that be the focus. In our Christmas cards. You know, as you grab that plate of goodies and you take it to your neighbor, give in the name of Jesus. Let's bring it all back to the Lord. Long ago, there ruled in Persia a wise and good king. He loved his people. He wanted to know how they lived. He wanted to know about their hardships. So often he dressed in the clothes of a working man or a beggar, and he went to the homes of the poor. No one whom he visited thought that he was their ruler. One time he visited a very poor man who lived in a cellar. He ate the coarse food the poor man ate. He spoke cheerful, kind words to him. Then he left. Later, he visited the poor man again and disclosed his identity by saying, "I'm your king." The king thought the man would surely ask for some gift or favor, but he didn't. Instead, he said, "You left your palace and your glory to visit me in this dark, dreary place. You ate the coarse food I ate. You brought gladness to my heart. To others, you've given your rich gifts. To me, you've given yourself." The King of Glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave himself to you. The Son of God has given himself to you. Won't we spend time with him? So take all of that energy. All of that activity. Go for it. Have fun. But put Jesus at the center of it. Give these things. Celebrate. in His name. Amen. Lord, let it never become old hat. Lord, we want to come to You this Christmas season. We want to touch You. We want to know Your touch upon our lives. I pray, Lord, that each one of us who knows You would have an incredibly meaningful time with You over the next 24 hours, the next 48 hours, Lord, as we worship You. Then I would like to pray, Lord, for anyone here who's never met You directly. Don't let another Christmas slip by where it's just Christmas, it's just this thing we do every year. Understand what it's all about. And I want to invite you to take that baby Jesus up in your arms. Invite Him into your life. And you just watch how He'll bless. All the things He can touch. He can make lives brand new. But you got to ask Him in. You got to invite Him. He died on the cross for your sins and rose again the third day. And we're all sinners and we need to be forgiven. I'd like to lead you in a prayer to receive Christ this morning. If you've never done so, right now is the time for you to get right with God. Say, Lord Jesus, be my Savior. Thanks for coming here. And dying on the cross for my sins. I have sinned and I need to be forgiven. So forgive me. And right now I give You all my hurts. I give You all my pain. I pray that You would touch. I pray that You'd bring healing. I believe that You can do it. You still work miracles. Lord, touch all of our hearts this season. Touch our families. Touch our bodies. Make our lives healthy and whole so that we may worship You full strength and tell others about You full strength. We worship You as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Take Your rightful place on the throne of our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.